3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Welcome to another edition of Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Rachel Owens in the studio with Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney. Welcome back.
Hello again. How goes it?
Goes pretty well. Bit of a soggy start to the holiday weekend, but I think it's going to be nice.
I hope so. I really hope so. I'm really jazzed about this weekend, it being Memorial Day weekend. And for those of us who are terminally confused, Labor Day weekend as well. It just depends on who you speak to about it, but it is officially Memorial Day weekend. But we did bring some Memorial Day weekend stories with us today.
For most people, I think Memorial Day weekend means a couple of things.
Yeah.
Having a good time, remembering, of course, our war veterans.
Definitely, yes. And I just want to top off the show just by saying everybody have a wonderful, safe weekend, but thank you so much for your service. So let's start out with kind of a lighter story, if you will. We're going to take it back to our Water Story Slam. That was the theme in February 2017 when we had a story slam over at Lakefront Brewery. Here is Andy Parman.
Each year, a group of friends and I pick a remote location in the woods and we go on vacation. We picked this location based off of three things. Is there a park nearby for a hiking activity? Is there a river or a lake nearby for a water activity? And is the cabin sequestered enough so we could be loud, obnoxious, and have drinking activities? To kind of get a picture of what our group looks like, we're all required to wear a trip hat. This is a hat that you do not wear in public, but you do wear on this trip. About half of us shave our facial hair into mustaches, and we're all given odd nicknames like Casper and Roach and Soup and Squirrel Bones. They call me Dad because, oddly enough, on the trip, I'm a voice of reason. And there are 30 of us. 2012, we go to Carbondale, Colorado. There's a river that flows right along Carbondale, and about 2 days into the trip, we decide to go on a water adventure. We find a small Ma and Pa outdoor sports equipment rental place that has tube and rafting rentals. And so we get there and we find out that because of a drought in the area, the water level is too low and it's very dangerous and that you should not be going rafting. So that didn't stop us. We proceeded to buy the cheapest water tubes they had. There was a cartoon dog with his tongue sticking out, ears flapping in the wind, with the words water and dog written on either side of it. We walked out 30 deep with our water tubes, made a quick pit stop at the local liquor store, and headed down to the river. We got there, stripped down to our underwear, boxers, Speedos, whatever we had, hop in the river. Only about half of us actually had water shoes on, but that didn't stop us. Here we are, 30 drunk assholes floating down the river with our stupid hats and our dumb mustaches. Half of us looking like the cast of Sons of Anarchy, and the other half looking like they belonged in the Village People, all while pumping our fists, chanting, water dog, water dog. We were having a great time until about 5 minutes into the trip. Our friend Casper popped his tube. He had to walk back to the drop-off van, but we pressed on. Our group of 30 quickly became a group of 15 in the front and a group of 15 in the back. The group of 15 in the front were having the time of their lives. You hear them laughing and chanting in the background. And us in the back, we're nervous as hell. We're getting taken under by fast currents. My friend Soup got his leg caught in a rock and twisted his ankle, while most of us are getting our butts scraped in the bottom of the river. Some of us are walking because now the river is so low that we're stepping on slippery rocks and jagged rocks. And in the meanwhile, I'm yelling to the other group, regroup, regroup, and they're chanting in response, F you, Dad, F you, Dad. This goes on for about 30 minutes. And then finally, I say, let's just hike to our pickup van. So we're walking through the woods. We finally emerge into our parking lot, and that's then when we realize that Casper, our friend who popped his tube earlier, had the keys to that van. So here we are, like swamp monsters, staring at our locked van with our dry towels. And my friend Roach said, I'm just going to hitchhike to go to the other van. So he goes in his underwear and his handlebar mustache and heads to go hitchhike. It's right about then that the most sobering moment of the trip happens. A police officer pulls up to these 30 half-naked weirdos and says, "What are you doing?" We tell them the story of the river, the drought, the tube pumping, the chanting. And the officer says, "Well, three people actually died on this river earlier this year doing exactly what you guys just did. And you should be really lucky that you're all okay. So next time you're at a professional rafting company and they tell you that the water is too low and it's dangerous and you should not be going out there, just say F and go hiking."
And that was Andy Parman's beer-laden water story that he told in February.
Well, appropriate that that took place at a brewery, I think. And also nice that it had a happy ending. Could have gone a different way, it sounds like.
Yeah, most definitely. So speaking about places around town, we are going to be focusing on an event on May 31st at Sugar Maple coming up. I highly recommend people show up for this one. We're taking the conversation over to Sugar Maple, which is located in Bayview, which is also undergoing a lot of different changes the past 10 years or so. The theme of that night is creating a welcoming community in Bayview. It's going to be open discussions and stories from people in the neighborhood about where they see their community currently and where they feel like it could go. Basically, we're taking all the conversations offline. Having the conversations face-to-face really promotes the change that we all are eager to make. So I do recommend going to our Facebook page at exfabula.org and marking your calendars on Wednesday, May 31st for that particular event.
Very nice.
So we can just move it along to the next story. This one was told by Bud Dombro at our Emergency Story Slam back in March of 2011. So here's Bud's story.
War stories are important. They remind us. This one takes place in 1967, very near the Cambodian border in the Central Highlands of once the Republic of South Vietnam. The participants, the men of B Company. I was a radio operator, walking point, first seven guys through the woods, through the jungle, and we came across a step, a bamboo step. We looked a little further and we found another one. We looked further and we found 300 more going all the way up this mountain. This bamboo staircase was an architectural masterpiece. It was beautiful. It had railings and landings and outposts, the whole works. So the whole company walked up it, 130 of us, just like a booby trap never existed. When we got up there, we found an operational base camp, a big base camp. It had bunkers, it had dug-in cooking facility. There was absolutely no foliage, no grass, just these gigantic trees that created a canopy over the entire area, disallowing aerial reconnaissance to see this area. So what we do, what the infantry does, is we spread out and looking for everything that we can find. We're looking for ammunition, we're looking for food, maps, anything. If there's graves, we dig them up. The last two graves I ever dug up, one was a 12-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy. Those are the essence of war, the misery, the cruelty of war. They live within me. I didn't have to do it. Didn't have to dig up any graves because the guy next to me, 15 feet, blows his hands off with a Chinese grenade. You might not know this, but you can unscrew a grenade. You got the frag part and you got the blow up part. He was a demolition engineer, and what he did is he separated it, and the blow up part blew his hands off. So we have to do, what happens is we go from search and destroy to emergency evacuation of this soldier. So there isn't anything that we can do about getting him out of there or getting him to an LZ, an open area where we can bring in a helicopter. So what is decided is that we're going to blow the trees. So we gather up all the C4 in the whole company, and we lace the trees horizontally with the C4 in a band. Put a blasting cap and let her go. What happens is a very unique phenomena. What happens is the explosion completely takes off 2.5 feet of tree, erases it in a microsecond, creating the illusion that these trees are being popped right off the ground. Very unique, very unique. But what is developed is a large area. All the trees come down. We take as many trees as we can with all the explosive that we have. So we knock down all the trees, have an open area, and a hole on the top. Well, we still can't bring in a Huey helicopter. So what they do is they bring in the largest Army helicopter that we got, which is called a Chinook. The Chinook does not have a big red cross on it, as if there was such thing as the Geneva Convention. This has got 2 machine gunners out of the back ends of it, and a door in a cantilevered crane that drops a cable down into the center. So we got the big helicopter out the upstairs. We got the infantry surrounding it. We got a guy who's got his hands bandaged up like 2 Q-tips, gigantic Q-tips. What comes down is a cable and a T-bar. So we put him on the T-bar, strap him onto this T-bar, and point up. They start bringing him up 3 or 4 feet. Then we started getting scared. What happens is he begins to spin on the cable. So he himself is rotating on this cable. Then he starts to imitate the wind or the rotation of the rotor blades. So he starts to flare out. So he's on this T-bar holding on to this cable, and he's flaring out. So he flares out and he starts to spin around the whole diameter of this empty area. This area looks like a fishbowl, like the bottom of an hourglass with a vortex on top. And he starts whipping around. He starts going from 4 feet to 8 feet to 15 feet to 30 feet to 60 feet to 80 feet. And I mean, this guy is freaking booking. This is a carnival ride from hell. And he's hanging onto this thing with his pads. And he's freaking out. We're freaking out. And we're pointing up. And as he's going up, he's getting closer and closer to these trees. Trees that if he gets stuck in a crotch of a tree, that helicopter will skin him alive. It'll kill him. If he gets whipped around a limb, what they will do is they will quick release that crane and drop it right onto us. Or worse, that little cable. Don't think that little cable couldn't yank down that helicopter that's sitting up there like a sitting duck waiting for our enemy to take it out with an RPG. So the situation is bad, and it's getting worse. And he's whipping around, and we are thinking it is Omega. This guy is done. When all of a sudden he releases himself from the cable and takes these gigantic Q-tips and lifts them up and looks at the airmen who are looking down at him. There's 2 airmen hanging onto this cable looking at this dude. They're on their knees, and they instantly stand up. They instantly stand up and realize the peril. And one of them points down like, "Get ready for a ride, man." They power up the helicopter, and it almost brings him to the center, and they yank him right up through that hole in the trees. They saved his life. They saved his life. We watched him fly away, and we knew he was rescued. And that was it. We saddled up, and we walked out of there. And I don't remember anybody ever even talking about it. I don't. It was just another day, another walk in the park. In 1972, the commander of the VFW called the Vietnam veterans a bunch of crybabies. Well, some of us did that day. For him, that guy on that T-bar, without any hands, wondering how his life would be. For those airmen who held his life in their hands. For all the pilots that brought us into those hot LZs and came back to pick us up, dead or alive. For us, the elements of disaster. There was 6 million people killed in that little war. For all of you out there that go to war and come back home empty. And for all the ones that never come back ever again, we will never forget you. You will never be forgotten.
And that was Bud Dombrow's emergency story having to do with Vietnam. Again, thank you so much for your service, Bud, and everybody else out there in the listening audience.
Indeed, very powerful story. It really brings back to home what this weekend is all about. Yeah, something we can't forget.
Most definitely. Just to kind of recap here, I want everyone to A, have a wonderful and safe Memorial Day weekend. B, I'd like to thank everybody for their service. And C, please go to exfabula.org to check out our event next week on Wednesday, May 31st, and anything else having to do with story-related activity and memberships and all that good stuff. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Leah, for coming in again. I hope you have a great holiday weekend as well.
You too, Rachel. Thank you.